If we were to meditate properly on the readings and the liturgy of today, there would be no way we could ever go home tonight. So I will not even try. But we see throughout these days of Advent, the preparation for the coming of our God, not only the Sundays, but also the weekdays, which are so very, very beautiful, with one after the other, of the prophets, the holy prophets, who proclaim the coming of the Son of God, the coming of the Lamb of God, the coming of the Messiah, the Savior of mankind. Now, we have already experienced this about 2,000 years ago, and we relive it. And that is exactly what the sacred liturgy does for us. It helps us to relive the mysteries that have already taken place. And every time we relive them, hopefully, we will find new secrets that are there hidden, right inside of our area of purview, right before our eyes. Secrets of the Messiah, of that which He is, of that which He is going to be. And interestingly enough, and it's not a coincidence, however, during several of the Sundays of Advent, we don't principally meditate on Jesus, the Messiah. We meditate on His precursor, His cousin, the son of Saints Elizabeth and Saint Zachary, Saint John the Baptist, the precursor of our Lord, the last prophet of the Old Testament, the first prophet of the New Testament, who not only proclaims that which has gone before, as we see in the liturgy, but he also points out the fact that the Messiah is here, is at hand. And so they go out to the desert, and he prepares, as in a retreat, as young seminarians and young deacons prepare for their ordination by a retreat, sometimes 5 days, sometimes 30 days. Only what God knows how long was St. John the Baptist's retreat. But there he was, in the desert, in the middle of nothing. And St. Matthew tells us that he ate locusts and other things that were found in the desert. Now, he is not speaking of locusts as in the giant grasshoppers that we think of as locusts. There were different plants that were called that. It was not so gross as eating grasshoppers, though some people enjoy those. I remember seeing in some shop somewhere chocolate-covered ants and chocolate-covered grasshoppers. So some people do eat them, you know, all to their own reward, not mine. I don't want it. But these are different things. And then he goes out by the Jordan River and begins to proclaim. A voice crying out, of one crying out in the desert, "Proclaim the way of the Lord, make straight his paths." And in order to do this, he not only does it by his penance, his prayers, his retreat, but also the way he dresses. Because the dress of a cleric, whether it be the Pope, the Cardinals, the Bishops, or the Canons, or the Priests, is very, very important. It's not just a coincidence. And it betokens the fact that we are all called to do penance for your sake. And so he was doing penance for their sake, and ahead of time for our sake. Camel's hair, which was rough, sometimes, you know, they didn't have washing machines or dry cleaners. Sometimes the camel's hair still had vermin in them, ticks and lice and fleas and whatever. And so whoever put it on had to suffer their bites, sometimes poisonous bites. He was doing penance. And a leather belt. Now, St. Matthew is very clear about this because the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and those who were of good families wore nice clothing and silk belts, not leather belts. Those were the poorest of the poorest of the poorest. There was nothing else for them to do. St. John the Baptist was preparing, and then he proclaims that the Son of God is coming, the Messiah, and then he begins to throw into their faces their own sins, which they very well knew. And he says, I am baptizing you with water, just water. The baptism of St. John the Baptist is not a sacrament. It's a pre-sacrament, a preparation for the sacraments. It does nothing for them, nothing. It's a symbol. It is for the repentance of their sins, that they may recognize that they are great sinners, that they have done wrong, that they have disobeyed God and abandoned and hurt God. But the one to come is mightier than he. Now, how many people are mightier than John the Baptist? As we have been studying, especially with those young people that are going to be received into the church in 2 weeks, 5 young men and women who are going to be received into the church, who are going to be baptized and confirmed, and will make their first Holy Communion on Christmas Day. St. John the Baptist, along with St. Joseph, was conceived in sin, but he was freed from original sin, as was St. Joseph, in the womb of his mother. He was prepared to become the precursor of God. He was prepared to become the putative father, the foster father of our Lord, the holy spouse, the most chaste spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary, ever Virgin Mary, mediatrix of all graces, co-redemptrix of the human race, who by her agreement to the Archangel St. Gabriel brought salvation to the world. Now she was conceived without sin. The Immaculate Conception, as we shall celebrate Monday. They were born immaculate, but not conceived. But they were prepared for their association with the Son of God, who cannot be near sin. So he is baptizing you for repentance, but he who is mightier, the Messiah, will come. And slaves and servants would carry their master's shoes and sandals. St. John says, I'm not worthy to carry his sandals. Others and translations say, I'm not worthy to unfasten his sandals. He is the lowliest. He, unlike me, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. It's just as we have been baptized in the baptismal font of the church, the womb of Holy Mother the Church, with the Holy Spirit who comes and brings the Father and the Son together with himself and sanctifies those waters with which we ourselves will be made clean. And fire. The Holy Spirit is represented at Pentecost as fire. Fire, which is judgment, which reminds us of the fires of purgatory, of the fires, the eternal fires of hell. Our Lord baptizes us, and then we who follow him in his stead, by his command, baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire as well. And that is why at baptism, the parents and godparents are given a candle, fire, to represent that which comes to their children and godchildren and grandchildren. He will clear his threshing floor. As he does so, the heavy grain stays on the floor. The chaff goes out and is gathered and burnt in the fire. He says here, unquenchable fire that never goes out, as a sign of the fires of hell, which we must avoid at every turn. And so we prepare. And of course, the motif, the leitmotif for the season of Advent, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Make straight his paths. He shall bring salvation to all. The salvation which is only that only God can give. Because Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, made man in the womb of the ever virgin Immaculate Mary, is God and man, and he will save us from our sins. What a wonderful thing as we prepare in just a few weeks, in just a few days, to celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful and joyful feast it is. But to prepare for it, we need to do penance. And I was glad that this morning, I was after Mass and everything else, I was in the confessional till 12 o'clock. I had about 20 or 30 confessions. And of course, after this Mass, I will hear confessions for those who need it. And of course, the people who say they don't need it, they need it the most. Because they're full of pride, and they're afraid to tell their sins to the priest, as if the priest could care less what they did. The priest cares that he will help you to save your soul. There will be confessions after this Mass. But this is the first Saturday of the month. And on this Saturday, you can obtain, under usual conditions, which include confession and communion, a plenary indulgence that washes away all of your purgatory. So today, let us rejoice, for we celebrate this wonderful feast of Our Lady, the Immaculate Conception. We celebrate this wonderful feast of the great Bishop and Father of the Church, St. Nicholas of Bari, who brings food and gifts to the children of his time, and still today, and from whose bones the milk emanates, from which miracles have taken place, even in this parish. Let us give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Now where will you be? Will you be in the threshing floor as grain to be put into the barn, the church? Or will you be blown outside to be gathered and burnt in the unquenchable fires of hell? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.